This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
Gabba gabba hey, and welcome to the Decibel Geek Podcast. My name is Aaron Camaro, joined as always by my good friend, the punk rocker himself, Chris Sinzak.
How's it going?
Very well, man. How are you?
I'm good.
This is exciting today. We've talked about this for a while. You know, this is one that's always kind of come back up. We end up doing different things, but today we're doing it. We're picking our each top five favorite Ramones songs, 76 to 80.
Yeah, because we were originally going to do the entire discography top five, but that's
too much.
It's just too much work.
Too much.
And we want to do more Ramones episodes than this.
So. Right, yeah. So we can always come back with the second part of that later on, which will be really interesting because while this is considered to be like the classic era of the Ramones, things get a little sketchy after 1980, but it's still, there's some great stuff in there. So that'll be fun to do too one day down the line.
Yeah, and then, and this is one of my top five favorite artists of all time. So getting to do Thin Lizzy a couple weeks ago and now this, I'm definitely enjoying doing the show right now.
Good deal.
So I'm excited.
All right. So before we get to it, we got to take care of our business. Of course, that business is iTunes reviews, Podchaser recommendations, and Facebook recommendations. We got a couple of them here today. We're going to start out with this one right here. This is this Podchaser?
Yeah, with the pink stars.
Wow. Look at that. Another Podchaser two weeks in a row. This one comes to us from our good friend Trevor McDougall, man. He's been a friend of ours for a long, long time. And he's left us a Podchaser review that goes like this. An absolute gem. Great tunes, great info, and interviews, and fantastic hosts. Love it every week.
Cool.
That's awesome. Thanks, Trevor. Good friend of ours. Love that. Great Podchaser review. Let's see what else we got here.
Got an iTunes review this week.
This one comes to us from Shane F&P, and it's entitled No Love Lost. I love the fact that you guys always keep it real. Just because I don't always agree with your view doesn't mean that I hate. Exactly the opposite. I simply love. Keep up the great work, quality production, and informative content. Love you guys. Sincerely, the Mooger Fooger.
Oh, we know that name.
Heck yeah, we do. Two longtime friends right there giving us some sweet reviews. You guys get in on the action. You can be as cool as these guys.
Yeah, really good reviews there. So, what next?
So the other people we always got to mention, the people that shared and retweeted last week's episode when we had so much fun, and we, what did we do last week? Oh, it was just, oh, fresh blood. Wow. too much going on in my world. Yeah, no, awesome fresh blood. We had a lot of cool people share that and retweet it, and those people are our honorary Geeks of the Week.
Okay, Geeks of the Week this week are Bill Elam, David Gregory Karsh, Kevin Williams, Greg York, James Nicholson, Shay Hargett, Matt Ashcraft, David Cathy, Ray Kuhn, Victor Ruiz, Mark Alden Taylor, Freeform Rock Podcast, Dan Nation, Rock and Ron Runyon, Decibel Geek TV, Denver D. Serrano, Gino Ames, David Glenn, Chris McCula, Brad Schick, Aaron Baker, Sons of Kong, Lipstick retweeted it, Greg Troyan, Rodney Dixon, James McElhenney, Mike Parnell, Trevor McDougall, Rob Webb, Chris Aiken, Dave Koska, Joseph Capone, Brad Kalmanson, Sean Cullen, Jay Shablewski, James West, Shane Aber, Adam Cox, Cobras and Fire Podcast, Christopher Stokes, Bipolar Billy, Coxie, Ernesto Aguiar, JJ Mack, Jeff Mendenhall, Digital Killed, I Love It Loudcast, and say it with me, the Mooger Fooger.
Those are our Geeks of the Week right there. The people that shared and retweeted last week's episode, Fresh Blood. A lot of the cool bands that we featured on that episode re-shared it and retweeted it and all that good stuff. That's very cool. I like that.
Yeah, I love it when we can turn people on to new stuff.
Right. The community, the rock community just keeps on rolling that way. I love it.
Yeah.
So you ready to get to the Ramones?
I am. This is cool. I'm really excited to get into this.
So this will be interesting because you're getting kind of two different perspectives here because Chris, like you said, is the Ramones are one of your very, very favorite bands.
Yeah.
And for me, the Ramones have always kind of been on the peripheral, you know? Mm-hmm. Here's how I knew the Ramones. Rachel Bolan.
Mm.
Rachel Bolan from Skid Row was the first one that ever turned me on to the Ramones because they did Blitzkrieg Bop on their live videos.
And I think they used to cover Psychotherapy.
And
too.
Psychotherapy off of Besides Yourselves. Yeah. So, I mean, that's where I first even knew about the Ramones was being a Skid Row fan.
Yeah.
You know, and to hear that and to hear their versions of those songs were so awesome that it's like, oh, man, I got to check out this band, the Ramones.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like Motorhead And, you know, just so many bands over the years that I love mm-hmm. pay homage or have done tribute cover songs of the Ramones.
Sure.
And so then it becomes, okay, there's something special about this band, because if all my favorites love them so much, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to check it out.
Sure.
But what really, really got me into the Ramones is when that tribute album came out.
Yeah.
With Kiss on
it. We're a happy family.
I had to get it because Kiss was on there, and I wanted to hear them doing Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio.
Probably the best cover the band ever did.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally, because Kiss doesn't do a lot of covers, but man, they knocked it out of the park with that one, and I always really liked that. So I wanted to get that right away. And then I'm hearing these other songs on that same tribute album.
That's a great record.
And it's like, wow, you know, there's so many great bands on this album that are covering the Ramones. Again, it's all my favorites going back and paying tribute to this. And then come years later to doing Decibel Geek and then going, okay, Chris has played the Ramones every time he's played it. I mean, I know the songs that everybody knows, but to hear some of the deeper cuts and some of the later years stuff that you always like to bring up really made me re-look at the Ramones again. And today I say I'm a huge fan.
Sure.
I'm not well-versed in Ramones as you are, I'm sure, but I definitely love them and appreciate them, and I'm excited to learn more about them.
Yeah, well, and also, you know, doing this show also helps with, you know, getting into bands and, you know, I have to eat a big plate of crow, you know, 25 plus years later, because when I was, you know, a lot of the bands that are people's favorite bands, they get into when they're in high school or junior high. This is not the case for the Ramones for me, because, like, I had a number of friends that I played in bands with. Steve Schroeder, if you're listening, I apologize. Because back in the day, I was very narrow-minded. I'm like, you know, if it doesn't sound like Motley Crue or Kiss or, you know, some, or Rat or something along, I was just real narrow with my focus, what I liked. I would just be like, ah, the Ramones, they can't play their guitars, they suck. I just never really gave them a shot, because I was just like, ah, it's just basic stuff. Like, I was into Shredders and stuff.
Right.
I'm listening to Racer X and shit like that, which I still love, but as this show has taught me, and as also age teaches you, you know, your palate grows wider as you get older.
Yes.
And it was actually right around the time we started the podcast is when I saw the documentary called End of the Century, The Story of the Ramones. And that documentary, as the case with a lot of music documentaries, it'll kind of give you a different appreciation for a band, because you get the backstory and you get to hear the behind the scenes things of what makes all the people tick. And I realized watching that documentary, like, you know, I think part of why we love Kiss so much is it's the personalities behind the songs and the people in the band. And there's, like, identifiable characters. They have an identifiable look, you know, they have, they have their own type of sound. And watching that documentary, I was like, well, these guys are just, they're almost like Kiss, just in a different genre, you know, especially because the members of the band are true characters in their own right. You know, they're definitely one of the most interesting bands to talk about, because if you haven't watched that doc, I think you can even watch it for free on YouTube. It's an incredible story.
I've checked that out.
And most of what I learned was from that documentary. And then I got a book, and then I got another book, and then I just kept reading. And they're just a really fascinating band, especially when you consider the history of, they're almost more infamous than famous, you know,
like totally.
Their record sales never were huge.
Nope.
It's, cause like a lot of people are like, oh, you know, here's Kiss when they were playing in the clubs. Well, the Ramones never really got out of the clubs.
Right. Yeah. That's one of the bands you look back and say, all these great songs, you know, and these years later, they're revered, and they were always revered by their peers, but the general record buying public just never got the Ramones.
It never clicked. And as you'll hear today, they wrote some damn really good songs that were that actually should have been giant hits on the radio.
Absolutely.
It's one of those giant mysteries. It's like, how is this not a fucking hit? Even Blitzkrieg Bop, which is probably their biggest quote unquote hit, wasn't a giant hit.
No, it wasn't a hit really at all.
But now you
hear it. It's not like radio stations were playing.
Yeah, but now you hear it in multiple commercials, and it's like, well, that it makes sense. It should have been a hit.
Yeah.
So I got into them, I guess, right around 2011 when we started the show, and I just became obsessed with them. I must have gone through a period of like 2 months where they pretty much made my record collection obsolete for a couple of months.
Sweet.
Where I just dove in and just couldn't stop listening to them.
Well, cool. Well, hopefully all your research, it will help me today, because I got 5 songs picked that I really, really like, but I don't know a whole lot about them. So,
yeah,
you know, we can work our way through this.
Sure. Well, you know, and for some basic info, you know, they came from Forest Hills, Queens. They were put together in the mid-70s, around 74, 75. They all kind of, I think a number of them went to high school with each other, you know, grew up, you know, lower middle class. And the biggest influence on the Ramones, if you want to know where the Ramones kind of got inspired, it was the Stooges, Iggy and the Stooges.
Right,
that
totally.
Was their biggest, that's what they bonded over, was they all liked the Stooges.
And which is one of those things, because even, like you say about the Ramones then, the Stooges before them, if you'd even heard of the Stooges or knew who the Stooges were, then you found somebody else that did too.
Yep, and that's how it works.
That's an oddity, you know?
Yeah, that's probably what drew them to each other.
You guys
like,
better
oh,
stick
like
together. Yeah, you're the only ones.
Right, so... And they, when they decided to form a band, most of them didn't even know how to play an instrument. They were like, we should just do a band. And they just did it.
Wow.
They're like really the ultimate DIY story.
Yeah.
And they would
isn't that the true definition of punk rock right there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And they would do their early rehearsals and writing at Joey's mother's art gallery. She owned an art gallery in Queens.
Wow.
And they would just wait till she closed for the day, go in there and bang out songs. And As Tommy mentions in the documentary, he's like, you know, the first thing they really wrote together was a song called Judy is a Punk. And they're just banging it out. And it's fast and crazy, but it's got this great melody on it. And he said it just hit him. He's like, this is really fucking great. You know, he's like, we actually have something here.
Wow.
And,
figuring it out as you go.
Yeah. And then they started playing CBGB's, which was really, right. I mean, CBGB's was really a shithole when they started out. It grew to legendary status, but in the mid-70s, it was just a rundown club that Hilly Crystal had opened up, and it was mostly known for, like, blues and bluegrass and stuff. That's where the title comes from.
Because nowadays, it's revered again, you know, as this legendary place, but it's only legendary because of the bands that were playing in this little shithole.
It was like a hangout for all these bands that really hadn't figured out their sound and just sort of, it birthed basically an entire movement. It's a really incredible CBGB alone. If you research the history of that and see all the great bands, even the unknown bands that didn't break out of there, there's a lot of great stuff there.
Yeah.
So,
pretty cool.
So yeah, well, and obviously down the road, we want to do a full Ramones discussion where we go through every album, you know, go through the discography and the history and all, but I mean, I'll inject little facts here and there, but today we'll keep the focus on the music. Cause I think each of us has five really good songs. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go first.
Sure. Yeah. Go first.
Okay. So my first pick is from the 1977 album Leave Home. This was their second album. It was produced by Tony Bongiovi and Tommy Ramone. And if that name sounds familiar, there's a reason for
that. Isn't that John Bon Jovi's uncle or something?
His cousin, I believe.
Cousin?
Yeah. The front photo of this album was taken by Moshe Bracha, and the back cover, which would become the band's logo, was designed by a guy named Arturo Vega. He was a very important part of the band early on. He was an artist and he just loved what they were doing. And essentially he had like a big loft condo type apartment in Manhattan. He wasn't rich. He had a lot of space.
Yeah, that's why the name sounds familiar. There's a video on the YouTube where it shows the Ramones like really, really early on playing in Arturo's loft.
Yeah. The reason, because they lived there.
Wow.
they had nowhere else to live.
But it looks like they're playing in here, like in the corner of a room.
Yeah. There's like a big sheet hanging up behind them. Yeah. That was Arturo's place. And he designed that first logo. So he's pretty famous. We lost him a couple of years ago, but he's also in that documentary. He's a really good character. So off of Leave Home from 1977, my number five top Ramones song from that era, You're Gonna Kill That Girl.
I saw walking down the street, he jumped down, he knocked her off her feet, and then I knew it was the end of her. When I saw her walking down the street, paused and still and skipped the beat. Then he knocked her on the floor, but he wanted just a little bit more. I saw a light on the street. He jumped and he knocked her off her feet.
and then I knew it was the end of her. Hey, skinny cause that girl. Hey, skinny cause that girl. Hey, skinny cause that girl tonight.
Enjoyed that. Expect to hear the term 1, 2, 3, 4 a few times in this episode. That's Dee Dee.
Yeah, it's going to be a reoccurring theme. All right, cool. Well, here's my number 5 pick, and this is one I think most Ramones fans, even maybe fans that just kind of know a little bit about the Ramones, probably know this song, and it's one of my favorites. It's 53rd and 3rd, and it's a story about, wow, it's a crazy story,
yes,
you know,
is.
Because 53rd Street and 3rd Avenue in Manhattan, New York, it's a real place, and it was known for being frequented by young male prostitutes trying to turn a trick. The section was known as the Loop, and it also boasted a bunch of gay bars like Rounds and Red, which is famous, you know, and in 1994, there was a big crackdown by the police, and it basically leveled that whole neighborhood, and it all went away.
Oh, wow.
But this song was written by bass player Dee Dee Ramone. It's a song that tells about a young male prostitute known then as Chicken Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling sexual favors to older men for cash. See, that's one of the things, like, the Ramones are, they lyrically are weird because I love the way the song starts out because it's like, if you think you can, well, come on, man. It sounds like it's a fighting song.
Right.
But then it goes this whole different weird thing, but it's a story song, so it's very strange, but it's a great song. So, from the debut album in 1976, it's the Ramones with 53rd and 3rd.
Yeah,
I love it.
Dee Dee has been asked numerous times over the years about the story behind that song, as if it was an autobiographical piece, like was he, you know, turning himself out to get drug money, and he took that to the grave. He never ever admitted that it was him. I think you could probably put two and two together. And I mean, he had a raging heroin habit, so there wouldn't be a shock if Dee Dee did some things to make some money.
Yeah, anything's possible. I know Johnny Ramone had said that back then they were so weird, and singing about some guy coming back from Vietnam and becoming a male prostitute and killing people. Well, that's just what we thought was normal.
Right. Well, yeah. And there's the line in the song where it's, you know, he turns the trick and then he murders the John.
Right.
And to prove that he's no sissy.
Right.
Yeah. Which is it's a very incredibly kind of scary song when you really think about it.
It's a punk rock tune, but it's got this weird, complex story to it, you know, in its simplicity. I mean, that's part of what makes the Ramones so awesome.
Metallica did a pretty good cover of that.
Yeah, they
song.
Did on that same CD I was talking about earlier.
Yeah. All right. So that's a good one for a top five. I'm glad you picked
good start.
That one. I like that song. All right. I'm going to sound like Greg on the Thin Lizzy episode. I like all of these songs.
Yeah.
I don't know that there is a bad Ramones song, at least not from this era.
No,
they're all
but
great.
I can tell looking at your list and looking at my list that we come from different perspectives on the Ramones, because my stuff is a lot more heavy, hard rocking, and yours is some of the songs that I left off the iPod.
Yeah, most of you lean more to the Johnny side and I lean more to the Joey side.
Yeah.
Because Johnny was more like the chainsaw rocking stuff. Joey was always more of like he liked to harken back to like the kind of the Motown, you know, even the girl group type of harmony
parts, definitely.
And stuff. And that's really, I thought, what made them sound. They kind of invented punk with that, because it's like, we're going to take retro-sounding songs, but we're going to run them through Marshalls on 10 and just crank them up and have a bunch of attitude. And that's really what you get. That's the recipe
right,
for
and
it.
And there was nothing like that before then.
No. And my number four pick, this is a song that certainly would not go over well today, because it's basically an ode to child abuse. This is a song from the first album, just titled Ramones in 1976, produced by Craig Leon, who was part of Sire Records, and Tommy Ramone. Tommy was really the producer for all these records
early on,
because he was kind of he was the visionary, because a lot of the guys in the band, they didn't really take what they were doing seriously. And Tommy's like, no, we have something here. And he would kind of help shape them and mold them. And after Hit Parade, or editor Lisa Robinson saw the band at a gig in New York City, she wrote about them in an article and contacted Danny Fields, insisting he be their manager. And he agreed and convinced Craig Leon to produce the album with Tommy. And they recorded a demo. And Leon persuaded Sire president Seymour Stein to listen to the band, and he offered the band a recording contract. They began recording in January of 76, needing only 7 days and $6,400 to record the album.
Wow.
It's a real fast turnaround.
Yeah.
And the album cover, which is legendary, photographed by punk magazine's Roberta Bailey, features the four members leaning against a brick wall in New York City. The record company paid $125 for the photo. And it's one of the most iconic album covers ever.
Totally. They look like badasses.
So this is a funny, upbeat sounding song about child abuse. This is Beat on the Brat.
Beat on the brat. Beat on the brat. Beat on the brat with a baseball bat. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh ho. Beat on the brat. Beat on the brat. Beat on the brat with a baseball bat. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh ho.
with a baseball bat.
Yeah. I've loved this song since the first time I ever heard it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love that one.
It's simple, but, and it's, yeah, it's another thought-provoking title and lyric. And U2 actually did a great cover on that album.
Yeah, that's one U2 song I actually like.
Yeah.
That they did a pretty good job with, was doing a cover of that.
But yeah, this song, if it came out today, probably wouldn't elicit a great response.
Probably not. All right, so that brings me up to my number four pick. This one comes off of 1977's Leave Home. Chris got all the information of it. This is a song called Commando. Mm. And, man, it's a trip. These guys, it's funny because you look at some of their stuff, and I know I was looking at some, like, Ramones fan board type things, and there is so much, like, people really delve into the lyrics of these songs and sometimes pull out meaning where maybe there isn't any, you know, because they are a punk rock band.
Right.
But this Commando, I guess it comes down to this. Chris, do you know the rules of being a Commando?
Yeah. Why don't you recite them?
Well, the
for
first
us?
Rule is the laws of Germany,
which
I guess today probably that's not so bad. You know, the laws of Germany today are probably
today,
very
yeah.
similar to what we have here. So we could probably abide by the laws of Germany. Second rule to be a Commando is be nice to mommy. Mm-hmm. You nice to your mom?
Yeah.
I'm nice to my mom,
you
too.
Have to
so,
be.
So far, so good. We could be Commandos.
Okay.
Third rule is don't talk to commies. You know any commies?
I don't think I personally know any commies.
I don't think I personally know any commies either. So we're good.
Was a big thing.
We're good
the
there,
day.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fourth rule is eat kosher salamis.
I don't know if I've ever had a kosher salami.
I don't
salami.
Know if I have either, but I looked it up and there is such a thing.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Yeah, there's a company called Sabar.
Oh, okay.
if you need kosher salami, if the fourth rule is the only thing from keeping you from achieving your Commando status, you can get kosher salami.
Okay.
So there you know. So from 77, it's the Ramones. Awesome tune. This one's called Commando. The thing about the Ramones, you know, in the simplicity is some complexity.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's hard to really figure out because, like you said, they didn't really know what they were doing, so they're just banging out these songs, but somehow, some way, there's magic in these songs, you know, like they actually did know what they were doing, even though they really didn't.
It's really a point of just chemistry between the guys and the creative part. And Dee Dee was a big writer for a lot of these songs. And one a very underrated songwriter.
Like, absolutely.
You know, you get a lot of people like to bag on the Ramones for, you know, playing ability and whatnot, but some amazing songs were written by Dee Dee Ramone over the years.
Well, and that's always the thing too. When people talk about punk rock or alternative rock, or, you know, like we've said over the years, you know, to me, it's just rock, you know? And to me, if I was going to describe the Ramones as anything, it's riff rock, you know, they're not known for their big blistering guitar solos or nothing like that.
No songs
don't
have one.
The riffs are so solid and catchy that you can't deny that this is just some great rock and roll to me.
Yeah, and Commando is one of those where the friends that I had growing up, that seemed to be like the favorite of most of them.
Yeah, because it's got such a good, catchy, foot-stomping kind of thing going on.
That's a great song.
I love it.
Yeah, I love that one too. Awesome. So as we mentioned, I tend to go for the melodic stuff with the Ramones, and my number three pick is definitely probably the most melodic thing I picked this week. But End of the Century came out in 1980. This is my favorite Ramones album of all of them. I get shit for that from people, but you know, we all have what we like.
Yeah, I can't agree with that.
Well, most people don't. Produced by Phil Spector, who had the Wall of Sound from the 60s. Essentially, it was like a 60s girl group album done by the Ramones. And they'll even admit to you that this was them selling out.
Yeah.
They were trying to make a hit with every single song on this record, and they thought Phil Spector had the magic solution. If it had been 10 years earlier, that probably would have been the case, but maybe. Phil Spector was a little bit played out by 1980. So, you know, even his thought process was kind of behind the times, you know.
Right.
If they were trying to make a hit album, they probably should have tried to make a new wave record or something.
And by 1980, that's one of them things that you're trying to gain new fans by trying something new and different. Right. So you're doing like a rock band, a punk rock band influenced by the Supremes.
Pretty much is what this album is.
And so then what does that do to your fans that already like you for being the Ramones?
Right.
You know, so I guess this is kind of their music from the Elder then, right?
Yeah, and which, you know, and that's why a lot of fans of the Elder weren't buying Kiss albums when it came out, and they got into it later. And I think that's probably why I have such an affection for End of the Century, because it was decades later that I got into it.
Right on.
But yeah, released February 4th, 1980. Phil Spector used more advanced standards of engineering, high quality overdubbing, echo chambers, mostly things you wouldn't expect on a Ramones record.
Right. All the things that you definitely would not expect.
And, you know, these methods would cause conflict between Spector and mostly between Spector and Johnny. And Dee Dee. Johnny and Dee Dee were not really on board with the process of making this record. And Phil Spector is one of those producers where he'd make you play the same note over and over again for hours until you got it right, which he did to Johnny on the beginning of Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio, that first power chord. He made him play it for hours on end until he got it right. And there was a lot of tension between the band members and Spector, other than Joey, because like Phil Spector was enamored with Joey Ramone.
Right.
And essentially his thought process was, this is a Joey Ramone album and you guys are the backing band, which did not go over well with the rest of the guys.
I suppose not.
Of course, Joey's eating up every minute of this because he's a huge fan of Phil Spector because he loved all those albums. And, you know, he emphasized production value as well. The budget was around $200,000, which was enormous for a Ramones record at that time. The thing is, the album bombed. It didn't do well. This was their shot at trying to have a giant radio hit, and it only got up to 44, which was their highest chart position ever for any album.
Wow.
44.
Wow.
Which is nuts.
Especially when you talk about a band that is so well-respected nowadays.
Yeah. But my number three pick, I just love it. It's a quirky ballad written about their manager, Danny Fields. This is the Ramones with Danny Says.
Danny says we gotta go. Gotta go. Thinking about you and me and you and me.
Rock and Roll Radio. Come on, let's rock and roll with the Ramones.
Tickets are on sale now at the Civic Auditorium box office and all Brandeis locations for the Rock and Roll Spectacular, a Z92 concert celebration with the Ramones. You've caught them on the radio. Now catch them live in the Music Hall Tuesday, April 29th at 8 p.m. The Ramones. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours early and don't be left out when the Ramones bring their own hyper rock and roll to Omaha. A Z92 concert celebration that will drive you to a frenzy. The Ramones, April 29th at the Music Hall. Tickets are on sale now for the Ramones, a Z92 concert celebration that's a contemporary production.
All right, late-breaking news from the Decibel Geek podcast. We just had to break away because this came in a little bit later than what we recorded, but this has been finalized. We got a couple of big pieces of news we got to tell you about. First, Chris, tell them about the Headbangers Ball Party.
Yeah, Aaron and I are going to be emceeing this cool thing at Little Harpeth Brewing Company in Nashville. It's called the Headbangers Ball, a night of it, 1980s metal, featuring Toxic Pistols and Iron Tribe, a tribute to Iron Maiden.
Oh, they're awesome.
It's going to be a great show. Doors are at 6:30, show at 7:30, $7 advance, $10 at the door. If you're anywhere near Nashville, come out, see Aaron and I on stage, and see these awesome bands.
Yeah, we're going to be hosting it. It's going to be a Headbangers Ball Party. So anybody that's in the Nashville area, or if you're going to be in the Nashville area, that's Saturday night, March 30th, you got to come out and join us for this. Be a part of the Headbangers Ball Party with us, right?
Yeah, it's going to kick ass.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
We're also going to be giving away some VIP passes to the Rock and Pod Expo coming up in August. So you get in for free that way.
Shoot, yeah. So come down and party with us March 30th at Little Harpeth Brewing Company right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Headbangers Ball Party. We're going to have the 80s rock and the Iron Maiden. It's going to be fantastic. But another huge big piece of news we got to talk about is the latest announcement for Rockin' Pod.
Yeah, this is a big one. This is if you had told me that a member of the Big Four was going to be at my expo, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah, but it's true.
Yeah, David Ellefson of Megadeth is going to be joining us this year.
Yes.
As a guest. And also as a participant, him and his business partner Tom Hazard are both coming into town. They run the Playback Expo that happens in Florida every year, and they're going to be doing some Playback Expo sponsored panels at the convention. There's a lot of music business knowledge that's going to be shared.
Nice. So Dave Ellefson, the guy that was on all the best Megadeth albums, is going to be at Rockin' Pod this year, along with all those other great guests. But, you know, we just had to break away because that's big news, and we knew you wanted to know. So are you ready to get back into the regular episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So far, so good with the countdown. Of the top five, our top five favorite Ramones songs, right, as always, yeah, with these bands we love so much, it's hard to say in 10 minutes this could all change.
Yeah, it probably will.
I can only imagine that you guys listening to this probably have your own choices for your top fives, but what we'd like to see is for you to go on when we share this on Facebook, mm-hmm. go on there in the comments section and tell us what your top five Ramones songs from 76 to 80 are, because we'd love to see them.
Yeah, it'd be cool to compare notes and see what you guys think.
Absolutely. That's what I love about this. It's the good community of rock and roll. Yeah. You know, we all kind of congregate to that Facebook page and get in on those conversations.
Definitely.
I love it. Yeah, if you're doing your Facebooking, go over there, check it out, give that page a like and get in on it, and it's a lot of fun. If you want a little bit more from your Decibel Geek podcast, you know, once a week is nice, but you need more. Well, yeah. We've got you covered, and it goes on over at patreon.com. That's where you're going to get the opportunity to become a Decibel Geek VIP. And what do you get by being a VIP? Well, there's all different levels that you can choose from. You make it work for you, but you could get the Chris and Aaron Show, which we said there's almost 100 episodes of that in the archives. It's like starting over with a whole nother podcast starring your friends, Chris and Aaron. It's why it's called the Chris and Aaron Show.
A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff.
A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Some stuff that has to do with rock music. Some stuff that's got absolutely nothing to do with anything, you know, but it's all pretty funny because we just want to have fun with that.
Yeah.
You know, there's no real studying up on homework or any of that. Just turning on the microphones and cutting loose.
Yeah, we love doing them.
That's a lot of fun. Of course, we got our Decibel Geek private Facebook group. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where we got our most favorite people.
Yeah.
And we keep them right there, and we all converse with each other, and we get ideas for songs and stuff we do on the show. A lot of times we run stuff past them before we run it past everybody else that just listens to the week-to-week show. Not that we don't appreciate everybody listening to that,
no,
but if you want a little bit more, get it. Patreon.com.
Yeah, check it out. So also,
and of course, Torpedo Dudes is there too.
Oh yeah,
I almost forgot about that.
If you're into Kiss, we have our very own Kiss podcast on there every week. So, got a little bit of news on the Rockin' Pod Expo that we announced last week.
Yeah.
So got some new guest announcements that will be out by the time you hear this. I don't know if I shared all these last week or not. I don't know.
We know about Erie Vaughn,
yeah. That's
The dude from Exodus.
Oh, yeah, Jack Gibbs. Okay, so I've already announced those.
We know about Green Jello guy.
Yeah, Jeremy Barber.
Yeah, I'm excited for that, too.
And Drew Fortier's coming back.
Okay.
And we got some podcasts that have already registered that
are
going to be coming back this year. We got Ages of Rock podcast that are going to come back.
Those guys are awesome.
Julian Gill from Kiss FAQ will be back.
I had a lot of fun hanging out with Julian last year.
Also, our buddies D. Hud and Chris from Digital Kill the Radio Star are going to come back.
Sweet.
And Baco and Loose Cannon from Cobras and Fire joining us this year.
Nice.
So Loose Cannon will return.
Good deal. Finally. Yeah, that was fun last year hanging out with Baco, but, you know, it's just not the same without both of them.
Yeah, you got to have them both. And more to be announced as we get over time. So there's going to be updates every single week.
I know there's one other podcast out there now that I got to be bugging. A couple of them, actually, now that I think about it. A couple of guys way up north and a couple of guys way down south.
That's cool. And more of our friends from last year are going to be coming on board. I'm just waiting until we get it confirmed and more guests are going to be confirmed. We're working on some exciting stuff behind the scenes.
Cool. So keep up with all that at rockandpod.com, right? Simple as that, rockandpod.
And if you're a podcaster or want to be a podcaster, we're going to have a podcaster registration for even new podcasters that want to learn stuff. We're going to have an education track that will have speakers and workshops. And that all that will be announced over time. We're still working that out. But it'll be, even if you want to just start a podcast, it's worth registering and getting access to all that because you'll learn how to build your show from the ground up.
That's cool. I'll have to check that out. Maybe I can learn something about podcasting.
Oh, and I think Decibel Geek's going to be at the expo this year, too.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be there.
We should mention
that. We're definitely going to be there. We don't just talk about all this every week and then not be there.
Nah, I'm going to stay home.
This is our party that we're trying to organize. That's basically what it is. We're trying to throw the rock and roll party of the summer. We're trying to make sure that it's as awesome as it can be.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure all our friends are able to come party with us, you know, and that's basically what it boils down to. Hey, look, we're having this awesome party on August 9th and 10th.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a band on Friday night.
Oh yeah. I wish I could say that right now, but I can't.
Okay. We're going to have some cool stuff on Friday night.
Oh yeah.
And I wish we could tell you who it was, but Chris ain't budging on that.
It's not quite time. I think we're going to be telling that soon, though.
Nice. Can't wait. So we're going to have an awesome band on Friday night.
Yes.
And we're going to party and have fun. And then Saturday, we're going to get up mid-morning-ish and make our way down because you don't have to go nowhere.
Nope.
It's all going to be in the same place at the hotel, the Nashville Airport Marriott. And so everything is in-house.
Yeah.
So, you know, no having to go nowhere, coming back from anywhere. Just go up to your room when you're done partying on Friday night with us. Come back down on Saturday. We're going to hang out all day long, do all these cool, awesome things together. We're going to hang out, party with rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's all said and done, we're going to have another party after that. And then the next day, we're probably going to have a party. So, you know.
For the 2 days, for the 9th and 10th, I'll just say this. If you fly in from out of town, there's a free shuttle from the airport. It's literally a 5-minute drive. You don't have to pay a dime.
Sweet.
Take a shuttle from the airport, go to the hotel, party all weekend, never have to go anywhere, and then take a free shuttle back to the airport.
Nice.
So pack your liver. And there's a full bar, restaurant, and everything inside the hotel.
Rock and roll party of the summer. The only thing missing is you.
Yes.
Join us at Rock and Pod Expo coming up August 9th and 10th. Check it all out at rockandpod.com and get in on it because we want to party with you guys again this summer.
Absolutely. All right, so we're up to your number three, I believe.
Number three. Are you ready to hear the perfect punk rock song?
Well, if it's a Ramon song, I'm sure it will be.
This is, to me, what punk rock's all about. With lyrics about a teenager who had to have a lobotomy because of brain damage caused by overexposure to DDT. Yeah, that's an awesome punk rock song right there. So, from 1977, wow, they released two albums in 77. That's right. This is off of Rocket to Russia, and it's, of course, the Ramones with Teenage Lobotomy.
Lobotomy! Lobotomy!
so heavy, so cool. What's not to love about that?
That's
you
a
know,
great song.
It's just again foot stomping, fist pumping rock. That's what that is to me, and it's perfect. That's to me. Somebody says, "Play me a punk rock song." What is punk rock to you? It's not Green Day. It's that. It's Teenage Lobotomy.
So for number two for me, I'm going to go back to End of the Century album. So while it's my favorite Ramones album, it did not have my number one favorite Ramones song, but it's got my number three and my number two. I gave you all the stats on End of the Century earlier, but this is also off End of the Century. This is a sequel to Judy is a Punk. This is the return of Jackie and Judy. Comes back like that song was so awesome. Yeah,
let's do it again.
I just love how fun that song is. Talking about Jackie and Judy and their adventures all over to go see the Ramones.
Yeah,
they both went to the Mud Club and they both got drunk. I love the lyrics on that song.
It's fun, you know. That's the other half of the Ramones too. It's fun.
Yeah, they never took themselves too seriously. I mean, they got a little bit more socially aware as they got older, but there was always an underlying current of just fun with that band.
Sure, and I guess we'll cover a lot of that when we come back for a different revisiting of this when we do the next group of albums.
Yeah, because they do change quite a bit over the next decade.
Right, yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun to do too. But today we're sticking with the early stuff, and this is my number two favorite Ramones song. Man, I kind of had to battle with this one for number one a little bit. I don't really understand the song so much, but I love it. I just love the guitars in it. I love the changes in it, how it kind of blends from one song into another. I was reading some stuff. I was talking earlier about how, like, Ramones fans will dig into the lyrics and try to know what they mean, you know. The song I'm talking about is off the first album from 76, Today Your Love, Tomorrow the World.
Great song.
And people talk about, you know, is it about Hitler? Is it about Didi when he was a kid because he grew up in Germany?
He did.
Is it, you know, were these guys Nazi sympathizers?
It was a controversial song in the day.
Or is this just a song that Didi wrote because his dad was a big shot in the U.S. military and he just would write songs like this to piss off his dad?
I don't know if there's ever been a clear answer.
Like, I've seen all kinds of different things to it. But, man, just for the song itself, just how it rocks, just how it all fits together. It's an amazing song. And again, I love it. So from 76, Today Your Love, Tomorrow the World. My favorite interpretation of that song that I read was that you cannot conquer the world with hate, only love.
That's a good one.
And I like that. If that's what it's about, I can dig it.
I think I've heard Johnny in interviews basically say, you people are reading more deeply into it than we ever did.
Because odds are it was just something they were watching some old black and white war movie and got inspired by it.
There's a lot of stream of consciousness.
You know, sniff the glue or Carbona or whatever.
Oh, yeah. That was a controversial song, too.
And then watch some old weird, you know, 50s war movies and be like, wow, I just got inspired for crazy lyrics for a song.
All right.
Today Your Love, Tomorrow the World.
So are we now going to be labeled like the number one Nazi podcast in music?
I hope not.
I hope not either.
That's not what we aimed for with this. We just love the Ramones is all.
Let's not be too controversial. Okay, so that's a great one. So it's time for my number one.
Our number ones. This is it. This is what it's all come down to, this whole episode, to find out what our favorite Ramones songs are from 76 to 80.
This week, because it changes all the time.
Totally.
So I haven't played anything off Rocket to Russia yet, so I'll give a little backstory on that, and that's my number one. Released November 4th, 1977, which, of course, is a landmark date because that was one day before my second birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You were really excited, huh?
I couldn't wait to pick this up. My mom wheeled me down to the record store, and I picked
that one.
Yeah. The only toddler Ramones fan in America. Released on Sire Records, also produced by Tony Bongiovi and Tommy Ramone in the summer of 77. That was really the peak of the punk movement, because you had with the Ramones' success, you had a lot of punk bands getting signed by major labels. This is kind of when it when the movement really got took hold.
Right.
And they had a
So how does that work as far as like the punk rock? Like, was it the Ramones and then everybody else? I mean, was it the Ramones and then the UK? Because it's like, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Because they were kind of like Pied Pipers, because like they would travel everywhere, play these shithole clubs, but all these kids that saw them in the clubs would just go start bands because they were so inspired by
them.
And
so did the Ramones play the UK?
They did. And that's the thing. The records got bought over in the UK, and you had, you know, young Johnny Rotten and, young Joe Strummer from the Clash, and all these people, they formed bands because of the Ramones records. And they were big over there. Like, they went over there and played a place called the Roundhouse, which was like a big theater over there. And they actually played to much bigger crowds over in the UK before they ever really did in America.
Yeah.
They play in the UK and play in front of, you know, like 2,000-3,000 people, and then come back to America and play in front of 100 people in a club.
Wow.
So, but yeah, there's a story in that documentary about like they're at the Roundhouse backstage getting ready to go on, and there's rocks being thrown against the window to the backstage room, and they open the window, and I think it was Johnny Rotten and like some of the Sex Pistols guys, some of the Clash guys, all down there trying to meet them. Like, one guy talked to Johnny and goes, "Yeah, we love you guys. We really want to start a band." And Johnny's like, "Well, go ahead and do it. Look at us. We stink." He's like, "If I can do it, you can do it."
Wow.
But there's a funny story about Johnny Rotten, who at the time was just John Lydon. He wanted to meet them, but he was scared to meet them because he met Arturo backstage before he got to meet the guys, and he was afraid that the band would beat him up
because they were so tough looking.
They all looked like a gang of thugs on the album covers, and he was like, "Are they going to beat me up if I meet them?" He's like, "Oh hell no, not these guys," because they always looked a lot tougher than they really were.
Yeah, you know, they looked like New York street guys.
Yeah, but they're all pretty, you know. Although Didi, I'm sure, could take care of himself in a fight with his rough background. But so that was the summer of '77, and they had a bigger budget for this record. It began recording on August 21st at Midtown Manhattan at Media Sound Studios, which was the premises of a former Episcopalian church. And on the first day of sessions, Johnny Ramone bought a copy of the Sex Pistols single "God Save the Queen" with him, and remarked that their type of music robbed the band. They didn't like the Sex Pistols.
No.
Because the Sex Pistols basically wanted to meet them at the Roundhouse, and then they kind of ripped off their sound. And if you really want to hear a ripoff of the Ramones, listen to the first Clash album. It's like the exact same blueprint and everything. And then, of course, the Clash blew up huge. You know, so there was a little bit of bitterness there between
I can
them.
Imagine, you know, we kind of invented this, and you guys carbon copied off of it and added your English snot to it, and then now, you know, look at you making money.
Right.
And here are we, you know, and the Ramones.
The engineer who would become the producer of the Ramones, Ed Stasium, Johnny had told them that he needed to incorporate a better production than the Sex Pistols, because he was like, "I'm not going to sound like these guys," because they just were not into them. And the Sex Pistols had a really horrible reputation, you know, for being assholes and being violent and starting shit with the DJs even. And that turned off a lot of the American DJs. They're like, "Well, we're not going to have you guys in here because we think you're just like the Sex Pistols."
So
the Sex Pistols kind of hurt their chances in a lot of ways. But Rocket to Russia was mostly done at the Power Station studio. And Phil Spector actually had offered to replicate the album and reproduce it for them. I guess he got to hear some rough mixes of it. And they turned him down at the time, and then of course later they would take him up on the offer because he really was wanting to produce the band. But this is my favorite Ramones song from the classic era. This is another. This should have been a giant radio hit. I still don't understand how it wasn't. This is "Sheena Is a Punk Rocker." We'll be right back. song is so catchy. I mean, it's just a fun song to listen to. How was that not just a huge radio hit? I will never understand it.
Did the Ramones kind of suffer like Thin Lizzy did and not get out and tour like around the whole United States a lot?
No, I mean, I think mostly stuck to like the Northeast. I mean, or they played the Midwest. They would do what they could, but they were on a shoestring budget all the
time.
You
true.
Know, so they kind of had to just take gigs where they were able to.
Yeah, because I always look at it from, like, of course, you know, the way we always look at things through the Kiss perspective. How did Kiss make it? They went out there and they mm-hmm. played and they played and they played and they played.
Well, and the thing with, you know, and Kiss got thrown off tours because of their stage show, but they also had a more palatable sound to open for other bands. The Ramones didn't have that luxury. So finding a tour mate to go to open for was hard.
Yeah.
And there was, like, there's stories about them touring. I think it was with Blue Oyster Cult, and they actually opened for them in arenas. And they would have people chucking stuff at them through the whole set. Was it wow. or was it Black Sabbath? It was Black Sabbath. Thanks for we have
wow.
an expert helping us with this. but yeah, they a raining of boos because they either you got them or you didn't.
Right.
And if you're there for Black Sabbath, you're probably not ready for what the Ramones are
probably
offering.
Probably not. Yeah.
So they,
no blistering Iommi guitar solos.
No. So it's like. If they didn't get the giant radio hit to put them in arenas, it was never going to happen.
And it never really did.
It never did.
Not even with my number one pick.
Yeah, I'm interested.
You want to go through our also? You said you had like a whole ton yeah. of also-rans, right?
It's so hard to narrow this down to five because I love so many of these songs. But so mine from the first album, my also-rans were Judy is a Punk and I Want to Be Your Boyfriend.
I think the entire first album for me.
Well, yeah.
There's nothing really on here that I really don't like.
Well, these are just what I narrowed
Loud
down.
Loudmouth, I love.
Loudmouth's great. I Remember You.
I Don't Want to Go Down to the Basement. I love
That's
that song, too. That's funny, but I love it.
So, yeah, for Leave Home, I had I Remember You, Oh, I Love Her So. That's a good up-tempo one. Swallow My Pride, but that's kind of a rewrite of another song. But,
see, I'm not a real big fan of Leave Home. I like Gimme Shock Treatment. Susie
good.
Is a Headbanger
Susie,
and Commando.
Yep, I like those. For Rocket to Russia, I had Cretin Hop, Rockaway Beach, I Don't Care. I Don't Care is a great song. Rockaway Beach, how the fuck was that not a radio hit? That
exactly.
song is catchy as shit.
Yeah.
For
We're a Happy Family. I like Ramona too. Ramona is a song that I'd like to hear like Hailstorm or somebody do. Somebody with a sexy mm-hmm. female singer.
That'd be cool.
I think would be a pretty awesome cover for Ramona. And how can you forget Surfing Bird?
But that's a cover. I don't know if I want to include that one.
It's the only version of that song you'll ever find on my iPod.
Of course, I Want to Be Sedated was on my list, but that we've all heard that one. Questioningly was on my list from Road to Ruin.
I like Road to Ruin. I think that might be one of my favorites. I mean, I Wanted Everything's a great song. I Don't Want You, Needles and Pins, the cover. That's weird, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Against It's a great song. Long Way Back to Germany. And, of course, I Want to Be Sedated. Kick
yeah.
ass.
And then on End of the Century, of course, that's my favorite. So I got I'm Affected, Chinese Rock. Chinese Rock, though, is kind of like I kind of prefer the Heartbreakers version because it seems a little bit more accurate, yeah. I guess, because better coming from Johnny Thunders, I guess.
I don't know. Not a big fan of End of the Century. I like Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio,
yeah.
Rock and Roll High School. And I really like the song All the Way.
All the Way's good.
But that's really about it on that one. The rest of it's kind of too weird for me.
So we pretty much just about named the entire rest of
yeah.
the 70s.
So basically you get it. You know, it's all really good, you know. And if you don't know about the Ramones, hopefully today we were able to do something for you and turn you on to something. And you might want to go out and, you know, just purchase some of this music.
Please.
You know, go to your iTunes, go to your Amazon, go to your local music store that's still selling you CDs. You know, go find it on LP. Whatever you got to do, get some Ramones in your life because it'll be better for it. So you ready for my number one?
Yes.
It's my number one favorite Ramones song of all time. Came out in 1978 off that Road to Ruin album. I had to look up what Chicken Vindaloo was. I had no idea. I'm talking about the song I Just Want to Have Something to Do. Chicken Vindaloo is spicy Indian curry chicken.
Yes.
Yeah, I had no idea. I've never had it before. But I tell you what, you know, this was a song, the first time I ever heard it was on that tribute CD that I was talking about. And the band Garbage does a cover of this.
They do an awesome cover of it.
It is awesome. I love their cover. I'm by no means am I a huge fan of the band Garbage. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all right to me. I don't know if I own any of their stuff, but that song with her singing it in her sexy voice, loved it. And then I had to go back and check out the original, and that's really kind of what kickstarted it all for me, was then listening to the songs that I'd heard my favorite band sing praises over, doing covers of this tribute, learning stuff on the Decibel Geek podcast, going back and buying these albums, and man, am I glad I did. And like I said, without a doubt, This is my number one favorite Ramones song. So I think we covered a whole lot today. So
Me
you
too.
Ready to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so here you go. From 78, it's the Ramones, and I Just Want to Have Something to Do.